بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله مكتبة الموحدين للبحر الكاريبي. أسعد تقديم الشيخ علي الوصيفي حفظه الله ورعاه في سلسلة محاضرات رد الدارمي على بشر المريسي. واليوم الأحد السابع من ربيع الثاني 1442 هجري الموافق 22 من نوفمبر 2020 ميلادي. Muhaddin Publications is pleased to announce a continuation of the classes with Sheikh Ali Wasifi Habadallah Wara'a on the subject of the book The Refutation of Al-Imam Al-Darimi Rahimahullah upon Bishr Al-Marisi. And today, bidnillahi ta'ala, is the day of Sunday, the 7th of Rabi' al-Thani, 1442 Hijri, corresponding to the 22nd of November 2020 Miladi. فَلِيَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا مَأْجُورًا.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد تكلمنا في اللقاء السابق عن زعم الجهمية وزعم كثير من أئمتهم كالمريسي وغيره أن الله عز وجل في كل مكان، فأنكروا أن يكون الله سبحانه وتعالى في أشرف الأماكن وفي أعلاها، أنكروا أن يكون في أشرف الأماكن فجعلوه في كل الأماكن، فدخل في ذلك أماكن لا يليق بالله عز وجل أن يكون فيها. ثم تضاربوا وتناقضوا في أقوالهم في مسائل كثيرة، ومن جملة الأمور التي تناقضوا فيها أنهم أنكروا نزول الله عز وجل إلى السماء الدنيا في ثلث الليل الأخير. وهذا الحديث، ينزل ربنا جل وعلا إلى السماء الدنيا في ثلث الليل الأخير، فيقول هل من داع فأستجيب له، هل من سائل فأعطيه، هل من مستغفر فأغفر له. هذا الحديث من الأحاديث المتواترة الذي رواه ما يقرب من 50 صحابيا من صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأولوه بالتأويلات الباطلة وأنكره نزول الله عز وجل. قال المصنف في بيان أقوالهم الإمام الدارمي رحمه الله تعالى، قال: ثم ذهبت تنكر النزول وتدفعه بضروب من الأباطيل والأضاليل من كلام المريسي وابن الثلجي ونظرائهم من الجهمية. يعني يقول على أحد تلامذة المريسي أنه كان يضرب الثابت من المعتقد السلفي الذي اتفقت عليه الأمة والأئمة رضي الله عنهم وصرح به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد صح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غير خبر كأنك تسمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوله. وهنا نقطة عظيمة جدا في قول المصنف كأنك تسمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول، وهي أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو كان ماثلا أمامك الآن ويقول لك ينزل ربنا جل وعلا إلى السماء الدنيا في ثلث الليل الآخر، هل كنت تستطيع أن ترد هذا الخبر الذي سمعته مباشرة من لسان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بصنوف ودروب من الأكاذيب والأباطيل والتأويلات، أم أنك كنت ستصدق قوله وتسكت ولا تتكلم ولا تقدم بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قولا لم يقله وتأويلا لم يتأوله، فماذا كنت ستفعل؟ الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى سأل أحد المعطلة هذا السؤال، فقال له: كنت سأستجيب له ولن أرد قوله بتعطيل ولا بتأويل. فقال له: إذا كان الأمر سيكون كذلك فمن الذي نسخ هذا الحكم؟ من الذي غيرك وجعلك تتكلم عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الآن بما يخالف؟ فنسخت أخباره وأقواله ومحوتها وأزلتها، ما الذي غيرك؟ فسكت المتكلم كأنه ألقم حجرا ولم ينطق بكلمة واحدة وانكفأ على وجهه. إذن لو أنك سمعت خبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن كنت مفارقا لنفسه فإنك مصاحب لأنفاسه وأقواله وأحواله وتقريراته وأخباره التي نقلت إليك بالطرق المسندة جيلا بعد جيل حتى تحققت من ثبوتها وصحتها. ما كان لك أبدا وأنت تسمع هذه الأقوال التي نقلت إليك نقلا مسندا أن تكذب بها أو أن تردها، وعليك أن تقبلها وأن تثبت المعاني الواردة فيها وأن تفوض العلم بكيفياتها إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. تفضل.
شيخ الوصيف حفظه الله، صلى الله عليه وسلم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Thereafter, we have talked about the claim of Jahmiyyah and the claim of so many of their scholars, so-called scholars or leaders, as in the case of Bishr al-Marisi and other than him, that they say falsely Allah is everywhere. So they negated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the most honorable of places and in the highest place, in the highest one of places. They negated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the most honorable of places, and it is the most highest of places too. And consequently, by that negation, they have basically claimed that Allah is everywhere, including places that are not appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be at. Then they contradicted one another and opposed one another in their statements, in their own statements, by negating the descending of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the first heaven in the last third of the night, every night, as we know from the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what it means, that our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the heavens above the earth, or the first heavens, and he'll be asking some questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be asking the questions: is there somebody supplicating or invoking upon me, so I will answer them? Is there somebody who's asking, so I can give him? Is there somebody seeking forgiveness, so I could forgive them? These class of hadith that is called mutawatir have been narrated, that particular hadith and in different narrations have been narrated by more than 50, by 50 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Jahmiyyah have falsely interpreted that or misinterpreted that and wrongly explained it, and they negated the reality of that hadith. So the writer Imam al-Darimi rahimahullah said, in refuting their false statements, addressing al-Marisi and his followers, then you guys went as far as negating the fact that Allah descends to the first heaven every night, in the last third of the night. and you tried to push that fact, wal'iyadu billah, based upon falsehood and misguidance from the likes of Al-Marisi and Ibn Thalji, and other than them, their equals from Al-Jahmiyyah. Then Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah said about one of the students of Al-Jahmiyyah that he was opposing what has been confirmed from the scholars of the Sunnah, what the consensus of the scholars have gathered upon after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly stated. And he told him, he addressed him back, and he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, there's a correction here, it wasn't Ibn al-Qayyim, actually it was still the statement of Ad-Darimi rahimahullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly stated that statement, that hadith. So how about, and here's a rhetorical question addressed to the likes of Al-Marisi, as if you are listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying so to you. The Sheikh said, here is a great point. Here's a very strong benefit. Listen to the statement here of Darimi talking to Al-Marisi. He said, as if you are listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying so. That is, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing before you, or in front of you basically now, and telling you that our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending to the first heavens in the last third of the night, can you, talking to the Marisi again, can you negate that kind of statement from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all kinds of lies that you have invented, wal'iyadu billah? Or are you going to believe his statement and shut up and don't talk and do not try to bring forward any statement ahead of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do not try and bring forward the statement that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said so and never misinterpreted it. So what, in other words, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? As the Sheikh, Hafidhahullah, and that's where I made the mistake initially, and I thought it was Ibn al-Qayyim. Here, Ibn al-Qayyim then asked one of al-Mu'attila, one of those that negated the names and attributes of Allah, if that was the case, so who abrogated this ruling? If the case, as we know from the hadith, that our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to, on the last third of the night, to the first heavens, as the hadith continues from what we heard earlier, who abrogated the hadith? That's the question of Ibn al-Qayyim to one of al-Mu'attila. What have changed you and made you speak by what is against? So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah asked one of the Mu'attila, one of the negators, those who negate the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, so if that was the case, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is stating so, so who abrogated this hadith and who abrogated this ruling of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In other words, what have changed you? What made you speak by what is against the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the point that you refused all of the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and it changed it to the opposite? In other words, when Ibn al-Qayyim said so, and before him Ad-Darimi mentioned his refutation upon al-Marisi, it's as if they literally put a stone in the mouth of whoever is going against the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's as if that person negating this fact about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his descending to the first heavens was knocked out, if you want to call it, and pushed down on his face or fell on his face. So if you heard the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even though that he never were facing the Prophet of Allah, meaning that you didn't even hear him breathe, but yet you are a companion of the statements of the messenger. You are a companion of his conditions. You are a companion of his affirmations and confirmations, as well as if the stories and the tales that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions. All of this have been narrated to you through authentic, supported means and ways, generation after generation. So much so that the people of Sunnah have accepted that, accepted all of the above from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to our present day and time. So there was no room for you to rely upon our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or you negate his statements. It's upon you to accept the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accept the meanings of the hadith as has been agreed upon by the people of knowledge. And leave the how, or leave how these hadith are interpreted, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam ya Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah, wa salamu ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bayna al-musannif rahimahu Allah ta'ala anna al-Mirisi wa talamizat al-Mirisi جاءوا بدروب من الأباطيل ليبطلوا حديثا متواترا ثابتا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتأويلات باطلة لا وزن له ولا كرام، لا من جهة النقل ولا من جهة العقل، بل هي مردودة نقلا وعقلا، فلا عقل عندهم ولا نقل. قال في حديث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، يعني ليس هناك حديث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنقض لدعواكم في أن الله لا يكون في كل مكان من هذا الحديث. يعني هذا الحديث أن الله ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا دليل في ثلث الليل الآخر، دليل على أن الله عز وجل ليس في كل مكان وأن له أشرف الأماكن، لأن النزول مقتضاه إثبات العلو لله عز وجل، إثبات العلو لله عز وجل. وإذا نزل إلى السماء الدنيا فإنه لا يحل في مخلوقاته، لا يحل في السماء ولا يخالطها ولا يحل في الأرض أيضا، فنزوله معروف من جهة اللغة، أما من جهة حقيقة وكيفية النزول فهذا غير معلوم لنا، فنقول ينزل نزولا يليق بجلاله. فأنتم يعني حديث النزول ينقض دعواكم، لما أنكم تقولون، يعني أنتم تقولون لا يخلو منه مكان، فكيف ينزل من مكان إلى من هو في كل مكان؟ يعني هم يقولون هو لا ينزل، هو لا ينزل، هم يقولون ذلك. لو قالوا هو لا ينزل فلازم ذلك إثبات أنه في العلو، ولو قالوا تنزل رحمته فرحمته تنزل من عنده فلازم ذلك أن يكون الله تعالى في العلو، لأن نزول الرحمة من عنده سبحانه وتعالى فلا بد أن تكون الرحمة قريبة منه إذا كانت رحمة مخلوقة، وإذا كانت الرحمة صفة من صفاته فهي متعلقة قائمة بذاته. فلو قلت إن الرحمة بتنزل وأنت تجعلها رحمة مخلوقة، سواء ما كان متعلقا بصفاته أو ما كانت رحمة مخلوقة، فلازم ذلك نزول الله عز وجل، وأن الله عز وجل، يعني لو قلت أنه لا ينزل فلازم ذلك أنه في العلو، لازم ذلك أنه في العلو، لأن الذي ينزل ينزل من العلو، وأنت تنكر في العلو. وحديث ينزل ربنا دليل على إثبات العلو ودليل على أن الله ليس في كل مكان. فأنتم تقولون كيف ينزل من مكان إلى مكان إلى مكان من هو في كل مكان، أو إلى مكان من هو في كل مكان. يعني هم يقولون هو في كل مكان، يبقى هينزل من مكان لمكان إزاي؟ هذا أمر لا يقبله العقل. فهذا هو أعظم ما تقولون من الحجة. وقد طبعا الذي يرد قولهم هذا حديث النزول، حديث النزول يرد قولهم هذا. يعني هم يقولون إذا كان الله في كل مكان فكيف ينزل من مكان إلى مكان؟ هذا هو قولهم. فنرد عليهم نقول إن حديث النزول يثبت أن الله في العلو وأنه ليس في كل مكان كما تدعوه. فهذا الحديث ينقض دعواكم التي تدعون فيها أن الله في كل مكان. ثم جئتم بزعم أن النزول حكاية حكاها في معنى النزول عن أبي معاوية الضرير لعلها مكذوبة عليه، أنه قال المصنف بيقول أن الرواية دي مكذوبة عن أبي معاوية الضرير. يعني عموما هؤلاء الناس إذا جاءوا بأحاديث أو بأقوال تنقض المعاني الثابتة في عقيدة السلف، فهذه الأقوال التي يأتون بها مع أقوال كاذبة. ولو أنهم جاءوا بأقوال صحيحة فتأويلها يكون بخلاف التأويل الذي يذهبون إليه، بل إنهم يتركون العام المفسر الثابت الصريح إلى الشاذ والغريب. يعني المعاني الصريحة الثابتة المتفق عليها عند أئمة السلف أن الله في العلو، فيأخذون الشاذ والغريب من الأقوال أو من التفسيرات ليردوا الثابت في المعتقد السلفي الإسلامي الذي اتفق عليه الأئمة. فهم يقولون إن أبي أن أبا معاوية الضرير قال نزوله نزول أمره وسلطانه وملائكته ورحمته. يعني النزول نزول الأمر والسلطان والملائكة والرحمة، هذا كلام أبو معاوية الضرير. لو أن أبا معاوية الضرير قال كلاما مخالف لمنهج السلف فإننا لا نقبل كلامه، لكن أبا معاوية الضرير لا يمكن أن يقول هذا الكلام، فهذه رواية مكذوبة عليه. الأمر الآخر أنكم تقولون ينزل أمره وسلطانه وملائكته ورحمته. ينزل من من؟ تنزل من السماوات، يعني بيننا وبين السماوات 500 سنة، مسيرة 500 سنة. طب إذا كان أنتم تقولون إن الله في كل مكان ورحمة ربنا سبحانه وتعالى ملازمة لوجوده في هذا المكان، فكيف يكون معكم في كل مكان ويبعد أمره وسلطانه بعيدا عنه مسافة 500 سنة؟ يعني ينزل أمره هو نازل من السماء، طب هو ينزل من السماء ليه إذا كان هو في الأرض كما تدعون؟ يبقى أمره وسلطانه معه، يبقى ملائكته معه، يبقى رحمته معه. إزاي أنتم كيف تقولون أنه في كل مكان وأنه موجود في الأرض وأن أمره وسلطانه وملائكته ورحمته في السماوات العلى؟ يعني كيف يكون ذلك؟ فالإمام الدارمي رحمة الله عليه قال لهم إن لفظ الحديث ينقض ما حكيتم عن أبي معاوية الضرير. فالحديث يكذب هذا التفسير إن النزول نزول الأمر والسلطان والملائكة والرحمة، دي التأويلات بتاعتهم التي يدعون. لأن الحديث يقول إذا مضى ثلث الليل أو شطر الليل نزل الله إلى السماء الدنيا فيقول هل من داع فأستجيب له، هل من مستغفر فأغفر له، هل من سائل فأعطيه. إذا قلت هنا أن هناك، إذا قلت أن الحديث يقول أن هناك زمن ينزل فيه الله، والزمن الذي ينزل فيه الله الله ينادي على العباد فيه، ثم بعد ذلك يرتفع هذا النداء عندما يتفجر الفجر، يعني عندما يؤذن المؤذن إلى صلاة الفجر ينقطع هذا. فهل يبقى إذن معنى ذلك لو كنت ينزل أمره وسلطانه ورحمته وملائكته ينزلون في هذا الوقت، فهل هناك تخصيص للنزول في هذا الوقت؟ من المعلوم أن نزول الأمر يكون في كل وقت، والنزول الملائكة في كل وقت، ونزول الرحمة في كل وقت. فكيف تعين أن النزول هنا نزول الأمر والملائكة والرحمة في زمن محدود، ثم يرتفع بعد ذلك الأمر والسلطان والملائكة والرحمة فلا ينزلون؟ إذن هذا كلام واضح، هذا كلام واضح. أنت بتقول أن نزول الأمر والرحمة، هو نزول الأمر والرحمة والملائكة بيكون محصور في هذا الزمان، ده الأمر والملائكة والرحمة بتنزل في كل وقت، ثم إن هذه الرحمة لو نزلت فإنها تصعب ويمنعها الله عن الخلائق بقية الأوقات. من الذي قال ذلك؟ فرحمة ربنا سبحانه وتعالى وسعت كل شيء تحت العرش، فرحمة الله اللي الرحمة المخلوقة موجودة في الأرض جميعا. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا قال عن النبي إيه؟ وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. والنبي كان يعيش في أوساطه، والرسالة لازالت باقية، فالرسالة رحمة من الله، والملائكة موجودون في كل مكان على وجه الأرض، وهناك ملائكة حافظة. فكيف تحدد نزول الملائكة وتخصصه في زمن دون زمن، وتخصص الرحمة في زمن دون زمن، والأمر في زمن دون زمن؟ ومن المعلوم أن الأمر ينزل دائما، وأن الملائكة تنزل دائما، وأن الرحمة تنزل دائما. هذا هو الجزء الأول الذي رده الإمام الدارمي رحمة الله عليه. الجزء الثاني يقول أنت ادعيت أيضا أن أمره ورحمته وسلطانه تنزل. طيب هل الأمر والرحم والسلطان والملائكة ستقول هذه الأشياء؟ هل من داع فأستجيب له؟ هل من سائل فأعطيه؟ هل من مستغفر فأغفر له؟ يعني هل الرحمة هتنزل تنادي على الناس؟ هل من داع فأستجيب له؟ هي الرحمة إله؟ وهل يجوز دعاء الصفة؟ لا يجوز دعاء الصفة، الصفة قائمة بالموصوف، والذي ينادي هو الله عز وجل. وهذه السؤالات وهذه الطلبات وهذه الاستجارات وهذه الدعوات لا تطلب إلا من الله، ولا تعرض إلا من الله عز وجل بصيغة الخطاب الواردة في هذا الحديث. الله يقول هل من داع فأستجيب له، يبقى الله عز وجل يسأل من الذي يدعوني فأستجيب له، من الذي يسألني، والله يعلم من الذي يسأله ومن الذي يدعوه فأعطيه، من الذي يستغفرني فأغفر له. فالله عز وجل يدعو، لكن هل هناك ملك يقول من الذي يدعوني فأستجيب له، من الذي يسألني فأعطيه، من الذي يستغفرني فأغفر له؟ هل هناك رحمة مضافة إلى الله، سواء كانت إضافتها إضافة صفة إلى موصوف أو إضافة مخلوق إلى الخالق؟ هل هناك رحمة تقول هذا الكلام؟ الله عز وجل لا يسأل عن عباده غيره، فالله عز وجل هو الذي يسأل. أنت أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه، هو الله. إذا سألت في حديث ابن عباس فاسأل الله، فالله هو المسؤول، والله هو الذي يعطي. أما أنك تدعو المخلوقات فهذا ليس من نهج السلف الصالح رضي الله تعالى عنه. فهذا إذن يرد دعواك أن الرحمة والملائكة والأمر والسلطان هو الذي ينزل. ثم أنت تقول أن الله في كل مكان، فكيف تنزل الرحمة؟ المفروض إذا كان في كل مكان أن تكون الرحمة معه، وأن تكون الملائكة معه، وأن يكون الأمر معه. فكيف يبعد الله هذه الأشياء بعيدة عنه وهو قريب، نفسه قريب من العباد، وهو مع العباد، وهو في كل مكان كما تدعوه أنه في كل مكان؟ هذا أمر لا يقبل في عقل ولا في نقل. تفضل يا خطيب.
الله أكبر، أسأل التيسير يا شيخ.
الله يبارك فيك.
آمين. So Sheikh Hawdallah continued by saying Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah. Just heads up, please pay attention to the common points, because there's a little bit of if I want to call it going around here regarding the logic, the twisted logic those people of falsehood are upon. The Prophet the Darimi, the Imam al-Darimi rahmahullah, clarified that Bishr al-Marisi and his students have come with ways of falsehood just to negate one single hadith that been narrated from so many sources, from so many sahabis, from the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they tried to do so through false statements, through wrong explanations that have no weight and no honor whatsoever. Matter of fact, the weight and the honor are non-existent, whether you look at it from the way of intellect or the look at it from the way of textual narrations. In other words, people of falsehood, as always the case with them, have no brains, no intellect, and they do not rely on the authentic text from the Quran and Sunnah. So here he said, you are saying regarding the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam al-Darimi addressing al-Marisi and the likes of al-Marisi, and he said, there's no stronger hadith that's more powerful to uproot your false claims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. Pay attention to this. There's no stronger hadith, the hadith we mentioned in the beginning of this lecture, that is stronger in uprooting your false claims that Allah is everywhere. This hadith, again we repeat the hadith, that Allah descends to the first heavens above the dunya in this world in the last third of the night. That indicates that Allah is not everywhere. Because the fact that Allah descends requires approving the fact that Allah comes down from high above. And the descending of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also means Allah cannot be any part of His creation. In other words, Allah is not in the heavens, is not part of the heavens, neither the earth. So Allah is not everywhere. As for the language, if we look at it from the way of language, the Arabic language, the matter that Allah descends in the last third of the night is known to the first heaven. It's understood from the way of the Arabs. As to how in the legislation is not known for us, and we say what we always say about the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah descends in a way that's appropriate to His might and power subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you, as people of guidance, say, you say that Allah is no place that doesn't have Allah. That's one of their false claims. No place that does not have Allah. So how, pay attention to this, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends from somewhere that He might be to everywhere. In other words, if Allah is everywhere, so where is He descending from then? They say, This is what the people, the likes of Al-Marisi and his followers from the Jahmiyyah say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not descend. Because if they approve of the hadith the way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed to us, then that would require them to confirm that Allah is high above the heavens. And if they ever say, for example, as they claim, that it's only His mercy will come down from Him, that is still requires them to confirm that Allah is high above the heavens. Because the mercy of Allah alone coming down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be close to Allah. The mercy of Allah, if we look at the mercy of Allah as an attribute of Allah, the attributes of Allah never break away from Allah. They go along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we stated in so many classes before. And if we say the mercy is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some form of mercy that is created by Allah, that also relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either or form of mercy that we're referring to, that means when you say that it descends from high above, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above. And you cannot, as a man that say so, you cannot negate the fact that Allah is high above the heavens. So al-hadith is a proof to confirm the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also confirms that Allah is not everywhere. But you say, meaning the people of misguidance again, Jahmiyyah and the like, you say, how could Allah descend from a place to place while He is everywhere? This is a matter that the mind, the intellect cannot accept. That's their false claim. Pay attention to that point. Here, Imam al-Darimi rahimahullah said, and this is the greatest of the proofs or the excuses you're trying to come up with to refute the hadith of al-Nuzul, to refute the hadith of the descending of Allah. They say, again, if Allah is everywhere, how can He be descending from a place to a place? But the hadith of al-Nuzul, the hadith of the descending of Allah, confirms the highness of Allah. And that Allah descends from or descends down to the first heavens. And you came with your false claims that you are relying on the narration from the way of Abi Muawiyah, the blind man, Abu Muawiyah al-Darir, who was blind. But that narration, and Imam al-Darimi is telling them, that narration is a lie upon Abi Muawiyah. So here the writer telling them straightforward. That narration of Abi Muawiyah, the blind man, is a lie upon Abu Muawiyah. In general, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, these people, when they come with a statement trying to negate the confirmed meanings and the statements that are known in the Sunnah, they will either come with a lie, to support their false statements, and even if they come with an authentic statement, they explain it the wrong way, in a way that's opposing the authentic ways. So they leave, as the Sheikh said, what is a general statement that is detailed, that is confirmed, that is clear, and they go to what is odd and strange in meaning. What is confirmed here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above the heavens. So instead of taking that, they take what is odd and that is close to their false ideology, wal-iyadu billah, to refute the Salafi belief, the way of the wise, the way of the pious predecessors. They say that Abu Muawiyah, the darir or the blind man, he said that the descending of Allah is actually the descending of the commands of Allah and the Sultan or the power of Allah and the angels of Allah and the mercy of Allah. That is their statement, okay? That is the statement of people of misguidance. But Abu Muawiyah, if he said so, he is not opposing the pious predecessors. if he was rather Abu Muawiyah opposing, if the statement of Abu Muawiyah opposing the pious predecessors, in other words, we would not take his speech. But we know, Imam al-Darimi is saying, that Abu Muawiyah never said so. And this is a lie upon Abu Muawiyah. The other point here, when you say that the commands and the Sultan and the angels and the Rahmah or the mercy of Allah come down, where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? Now, we know that the distance between the first heavens and the earth is as far as 500 years. So you falsely claim Allah is everywhere and agree that His mercy is with Him. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be everywhere and yet His commands, His power will descend and be as far as 500 years away from Him? How can you say then that Allah is everywhere? How can you say that Allah, for example, is upon the earth and that His Sultan, His power, His mercy, His commands, His angels are above, high above in the heavens, 500 years away from Him? So Darimi rahimahullah told them, the statement, the wording of the hadith itself negates everything that you have said about Abu Muawiyah, the blind man. And the first way of contradiction that is stated here, according to the wording, is you saying that the commands and the power and the angels and the mercy of Allah will descend down in the last third of the night, or the last part of the night upon the earth. And then the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, as Abu Muawiyah, as you stated that Abu Muawiyah is saying the same thing, is there somebody calling upon me so I will answer them? Is there somebody asking of me so I will give him? Is there somebody seeking forgiveness so I will forgive him? So if you say the hadith is saying the hadith, or the word of the hadith is stating that there's a time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy, power, angels, and commands descend, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be calling upon the servants, and then when the muadhin is calling for salat al-fajr, all of this is cut off, all of this will be raised up again in the heavens. So in other words, you are stating the commands of Allah, the power of Allah, the mercy of Allah, and the angels of Allah are only specific to the last third of the night when it comes down to the earth, when they come down to the earth. Tell me, where did you get such a specification from? What is known? Pay attention to that point. What is known? Walillah alhamdu al-minna, according to the belief of people of the Sunnah, that the commands of Allah and the angels of Allah and the mercy of Allah descends upon the creation all the time. So how could you specify a particular time and then say all of this will be taken away from the creation? How? And he's saying the rest of the time they will not descend down upon mankind, for example. I hope that speech is clear. You are saying such a false statement regarding the attributes of Allah coming down upon mankind at a particular time only. If we're talking about the Rahmah, for example, the mercy of Allah, and you say falsely again that the Rahmah would be taken away from mankind as soon as Fajr is called, as soon as Salat al-Fajr is called, the first prayer of the day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent His mercy from the creation for the rest of the day. So how can you refute what our Prophet ﷺ says, that the mercy of Allah wasi'at kulla shay' taht al-arsh? Or as the Shaykh said, hafidhahullah, I stand corrected, that we know from the belief of people of Sunnah that the mercy of Allah encompassed and يعني surrounded everything that is under the throne of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you, O Muhammad, except as a mercy to al-alameen, jinn and ins altogether, mankind and creatures of fire altogether. And we know that the message of Islam is existent amongst us, and it will be existent amongst us. The message itself of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy in and of itself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels are everywhere all over this creation. From amongst them, the ones that record the actions of every single servant and every single human being. So how could you specify, how could you particularize the mercy of Allah and the commands of Allah and the angels of Allah in a time other than the time? This what Imam al-Darimi answered Bishr al-Marisi with. The second point here in that refutation. If you are to claim that the command of Allah and the mercy of Allah descends at a particular time, or descends to the first heavens, does the mercy of Allah and the power of Allah and the commands of Allah and the angels of Allah have the ability or can say on behalf of Allah, is there a caller or somebody saying dua or somebody supplicating so I will answer them? Is there somebody asking so we can fulfill their need? Is there somebody seeking forgiveness so we can forgive him? Would the mercy or the angels or the power of Allah be given such an attribute? You think the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come down calling upon the people? Is that permissible for us as believers to call upon the mercy of Allah as an attribute, and the attribute is only established by what it describes? The attribute, meaning the mercy of Allah, is only considered an attribute because it's established by Allah. In other words, you cannot call upon the mercy of Allah, you have to call upon Allah himself. So these false claims of yours cannot be true, because all those questions in the hadith can never be asked except from Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cannot be wanted except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cannot even be said upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except in the way or the wording that's been mentioned in the hadith. In other words, when Allah is asking in the hadith, who is calling upon me so I will answer them? Who's asking for a need so I will fulfill it for them? Who's asking for my forgiveness so I can forgive them? Is there an angel from the angels of Allah able to say the same? Of course not. Cannot be. Is there a mercy that is added to Allah? Whether that mercy is an attribute of Allah that can never be broken away from him, or a creation of Allah that he sent to the creation, or a creature of Allah that he sent to the creation, can the mercy itself do the same as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never be, or nobody can ever be asked about his servants except him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can ask about the servants of Allah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرُ إِذَا دَعَى أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرُ إِذَا دَعَى. And how can I translate this one? أنا كده قلتها صح يا شيخ صح؟ أنا نسيت الآية. الله المستعان. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا. أمن
يجيب المضطر إذا دعا.
نعم. As the ayah states, what it means. And who will answer the one that's in dire circumstances when that individual is calling upon him, meaning calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can answer anybody going through calamity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said the famous hadith, and we can only mention one statement from the hadith: if you ask, you ask Allah. If you are to ask, so ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for an individual to call upon the creation of Allah, that is not from the methodology of the past predecessors. So this refutes your false claims that the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah, and the angels of Allah, and the amr of the commands of Allah, and the power of Allah would descend to the first heavens in the last third of the night. If Allah, as you're claiming falsely, is everywhere, so how could that be? And all of these attributes, and all of these characteristics, and all of this creation is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow any of that to be destined away from Him? And He is close to the servants, as you claim yourself. This or these false claims of yours cannot be accepted either by a sound intellect, neither agrees with the authentic narrations. Allah Ta'ala A'lam. Naam ya Shaykh.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذا البريسي ومن تتلمذ على يديه جاءوا بأباطيل وتأويلات منحرفة عن الصراط السوي عن طريق أهل العلم وأهل الهدى من سلفنا الصالح رضي الله تعالى عنه، ولا يزال أصحاب الشبهات كلما يدفعون شبهة أو تدفع شبهة يأتون بشبهة أخرى، وهكذا أهل الباطل يتلبس بهم الشياطين فيخرجونهم من الشكوك إلى الشكوك، ومن الأوهام إلى الأوهام، ومن البدع إلى البدع، وهذا يعتبر من الأمراض النفسية التي تصيب الإنسان والتي لا يستطيع أن يتخلص منها إن كان مرضا دمويا فأمره إلى الله عز وجل، وإن كان مرضا شيطانيا فإن لم يتب عن غيه وضلاله ويستغفر الله ويستعيذ بالله ويرجع إلى الله فإنه لن يخلص منه والعياذ بالله. فأصحاب الأمراض وأمراض القلوب وأمراض النفوس من أهل البدع دائما ما يأتون بالشبهات ويتعلقون بالشبهات ويأخذون الأقوال الصريحة التي لها معنى معلوم عند قائلها فيؤولونها على غير مراد قائلها. ومن ذلك قال الإمام الدارمي رحمه الله: أما ما رويت في صدر كتابك عن المريسي أن الله بكل مكان، وما احتججت به عن ابن عيينة، عن عمرو ابن دينار، عن ابن عمر أنه قال لرجل: لا تقل الله حيث كان فإنه بكل مكان، وعن أبي الأحوص، عن زيد بن جبير، عن أبي البختري أو البختري مثله، وكان أبا البختري الطائي أو أبو البختري الطائي يقول: لا تقل والله حيث كان فإنه بكل مكان. قال: هذا الكلام أنت تموه وتخدع وتضحك على الناس وعلى العامة من الناس وعلى السفهاء، ذلك أن قولهم إن الله بكل مكان يعني بعلمه، فكانوا يقولون الله فوق العرش وهو بعلمه في كل مكان، ومعنى قولهم وهو بعلمه في كل مكان هو أنه فوق العرش مطلع على أعمالهم بعلمه، وليس معناه أن صفة العلم تنفك عن الله وتحل في الأماكن، لا، إنما معناه أنه فوق العرش وعلمه في نفسه، وهو مطلع على العباد في كل مكان وهو فوق العرش تبارك الله رب العالمين. فالعجب منك، يقول المصنف، العجب منك ومن إمامك إذ يحتج في ضلاله بالتمويه عن ابن عمر وعن أبي البختري الطائي، ويضع المنصوص المفسر الواضح البين، وهكذا أهل البدع والأهواء كما قلنا يتركون الصريح المفسر الواضح البين إلى العقول الهوائية وإلى الضعيف وإلى الشاذ وإلى المنكر وإلى الموضوع وإلى الأزواق الصوفية وإلى تخريف أهل الزيف والضلال والعياذ بالله. فقال له: لماذا أنت تتعلق بالتمويه والضلال وتحرك وتشغل نفسك بهذه الأمور التي لا طائل من وراءها من ورائها؟ أما علمت أن ابن عمر قال في الرؤية ما يدل على أن الله في العلو وأنه يرى من العلو وأنه يثبت العرش وأن الله فوق العرش، وما روي عن 20 رجل بل أكثر من ذلك كما قلت، يعني هو قال 20 رجل بل أكثر من ذلك، ما يقرب من 49 صحابيا رووا حديث النزول. يعني أنت تعرض عن حديث النزول بهذه التمويهات؟ فالله عز وجل فوق العرش، فقولك إلى الجهل أقرب منه إلى العدل والعلم والاتباع. تترك الآثار الواضحة المشهورة وتتعلق بكل متشابه مغمور، وهذا أمر واضح فيك ومشهور، وغير ذلك من العوارض التي رد بها الإمام الدارمي رحمة الله عليه على هذا الرجل المنحرف من تلامذة بشر المريسي وغيره بما جاء من الأباطيل. وهذا الكتاب كما قلنا قبل ذلك هو عمدة أئمة السلف الصالح رضي الله عنهم في الرد على أهل البدع والأهواء من الجهمية والمعتزلة والأشاعرة. هذا الكتاب الذي ندرسه وهو كتاب الرد على بشر المريسي، الإمام الدارمي رحمه الله تعالى رحمة الله عليه يعتبر هو العمدة التي يرجع إليها أئمة السلف من بعده في الرد على الجهمية، لأنه نسفهم نسفا وأزال شبهاتهم إزالة لا تحتاج بعد ذلك إلى الماء كي تغسل هذه الشبهات، فالإزالة واضحة بالعلم بالحجة بالدليل بالبرهان. وهذا من توفيق الله عز وجل عليه وعلينا، نسأل الله تقبل منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. شيخنا بس من باب التأكيد هنا سامحنا.
نعم.
من باب التأكيد بس أتأكد من مقال ابن عمر اللي هو من جهة ابن عيينة عن عمر بن دينار عن ابن عمر: لا تقل الله في كل مكان، مزبوط ولا في حاجة زيادة عليه؟
لا تقل الله حيث كان فإنه بكل مكان، يقول ذلك.
نعم. لا تقل
الله، فرد عليه بينا وقال أن معنى قوله بكل مكان يعني بعلمه، لا يخفى عليه شيء من عباده، محيطهم به سبحانه وتعالى. مع السلامة.
الله يسلمك يا شيخ، جزاكم الله كل خير.
الله يبارك فيك.
بارك الله فيكم.
الله يبارك فيك.
شيخ عبد الله كنتيني البيسين، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So here we have Bishr al-Marisi and whoever had become a student of his. Wallahu al-musta'an, they came with so many misguided falses or so much false misguidances that will take the people away from the straight path. It will take the people away actually from the path of people of knowledge, people of guidance, from our pious predecessors. May Allah have mercy on all of them. Ameen. As the Shaykh Abdullah Ali Wasifi continued and said, and they still, people of doubts, continue every time we uproot one of their doubts, they try and come with another doubt. They're just the way of the people of doubts. And so on. People of misguidance are obsessed by, or are possessed rather by the devils. Wal-iyadu billah. So whenever these devils are keeping them in all kinds of suspicions and all kind of awham, and all kind of misguidance. How about you? Yeah, misguidance and all kind of yani imaginative falsehoods. As the Sheikh said, and these are from the psychological disease that no human being can get rid of. These are from diseases or ailments of psychology that the human being cannot get rid of. Because if the human being had a physical ailment, a physical disease, then his affair is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is sick with something or yani afflicted by something that's physical, a physical disease, then his matter is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it was psychological and that person never made repentance from that disease of his and never tried to get out of this false ideology of his, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him accordingly. Wal-iyadu billah. The people of misguidance always come around with all kinds of doubts, and they try to hang on to their own doubts and try to aid and support the doubts with what is authentic, that has known meaning to the people of the Sunnah, and they try to change those meanings along with that. As Imam al-Darimi rahimahullah said in his book addressing Bishr al-Marisi again, as for what you have narrated in the beginning of your book about al-Marisi, Darimi again is refuting, as we know, a follower of the Marisi in this book, yet it's addressed to al-Marisi himself because he was the guy behind all this falsehood, wal-iyadu billah. So he's talking to the person that wrote the book, and he said, as for you who have put in the beginning of your book from the way of al-Marisi that Allah is everywhere, maybe you have used the evidence, or and then you try to use the evidence from the way of Ibn Uyayna, from the way of Amr ibn Dinar, from the way of Ibn Amr, in which they said, do not ever say Allah is where he is, because Allah is everywhere. Pay attention to this statement. This is a very false statement. It cannot be any more false than it is, if I want to say that in English. Do not ever say Allah where he is, or he might be, because Allah is everywhere. And this is all wrong. Then he tried to use another evidence from Abi al-Ahwat, from Zayd, from the way of Zayd, from the way of al-Bakhtari al-Ta'i, saying the same thing. Do not ever say Allah is where he is, but because Allah is everywhere. But the father of al-Bakhtari al-Ta'i also said, do not ever say Allah haythu kan. Do not ever say Allah is where he is, because he's everywhere. Then al-Darimi said, so in other words, you are trying to deceive and fool the people and the idiots amongst the laymen by your statements. Because your statement saying that Allah is everywhere only according to the understanding of the pious predecessors means that Allah is everywhere with His knowledge. Pay attention to that point, dear brothers and sisters. So you'll be able to answer some of these misguided groups. Again, your statement saying that Allah is everywhere, it only means, according to the correct understanding from the past predecessors, that Allah is everywhere with His knowledge. In other words, nothing is ever hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the affairs of His servants, of His creation, and He is well encompassing of everything with the creation. They say Allah is above the throne. That's the people of Sunnah. They say Allah is high above the throne and with His knowledge is everywhere. In other words, that Allah is high above the arsh, knowing the actions of His creation, or fully aware of the actions of His creation with His knowledge. That does not mean, as we stated earlier, the matter of knowledge as an attribute of Allah is separate from Allah, just as we stated when it comes to the attribute of Ar-Rahman of Allah. That does not mean again that this knowledge is separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather this knowledge of Allah is in Himself, meaning in His nafs, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's fully aware of His servants. And Allah is capable of everything. So what's amazing from you and from those who are trying, your scholars, again, Ad-Darimi is addressing the likes of Bishr al-Marisi, that you're trying to use as a proof in your to aid your misguidance from the way of Ibn Umar as well as al-Bakhtari. And you're trying to twist what have been textual evidence that is clear beyond any doubts from the Quran and the Sunnah, and go with that to the whims and desires of the minds, and what is odd or strange, wal-iyadu billah. Or maybe you're trying to take it as far as what is weak, fabricated, or even what's in accordance with the Sufi or the so-called spiritual etiquettes or tastes, as well as all of the wickedness of the people of misguidance, wal-iyadu billah. So you preoccupying yourself with such matters that have no end in sight and have no benefit from behind it either. There's no benefit from that. Didn't you know that Ibn Umar himself said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne? Didn't you know that Ibn Umar himself agreed with more than 20 some scholars of the companions, but rather he agreed with more than that, 49 maybe more of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they said the hadith of al-Nuzul, the hadith that we mentioned at the beginning of this talk, that Allah descends in the last third of the night to the first heavens. So your statement, O Bishr al-Marisi, is closest to ignorance than knowledge. Your statement, O Bishr al-Marisi, is closest to misguidance than following. You leave what is clear, what is famous amongst the people of Sunnah, and you try to hang on to every similar look-alike statement that's been hidden away or tucked away somewhere in a dark corner, which is a matter actually that's known about you. And this, what Imam al-Darimi rahimahullah, as Sheikh Ali al-Wasifi continued and said, this what Imam al-Darimi rahimahullah refuted this man that was misguided, clearly misguided, from the students of Bishr al-Marisi. A side note here, the Sheikh Ali al-Wasifi mentioned this book is considered to be umdah, meaning the best of the books from amongst the pious predecessors in refuting the people of innovations and people of whims and desires, including al-Jahmiyyah, al-Asha'ira, and al-Mu'tazila, and whoever branches from those main three groups. Again, this book that we're going over, for those have been, if I may say as a translator, been hanging in there and trying to get the benefit, may Allah increase you, is the best reference that even the scholars of the past predecessors still return to in the refutation upon al-Jahmiyyah, amongst other groups. Because the proofs and evidence that Imam al-Darimi and the methodology of the past predecessors that Imam al-Darimi have followed in this book blows al-Jahmiyyah out of the water, literally. And erases all of the doubts in a way that even water cannot wash it. So the erosion here, if you want to call it, of all of the misguidance of these groups is clear in this book with the knowledge, with the proofs, with the evidence that Allah had bestowed upon Imam al-Darimi from the way of the past predecessors. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our righteous deeds. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In conclusion, I say as a translator, anything that I said that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaitan. If there's any correction, please, please let us know. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.